Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday morning. Coming up in an hour, Tim Hasselbeck at High Noon, our weekly chat with him. But right now, we're talking with TD. Teron Davenport is up in Indy at the Combine, Willie. The Combine is underway. It's finally here. You've been chomping at the bit for weeks to get to the Combine.
Huge anticipation.
And now it's here. The underwear party is underway, at least for a couple of days it has been. Teron, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Underwear party, that's an interesting way to put it. But, yeah, it's been fun.
Because that's what it takes to make it at this level, right? Get out there in your underwear and run around with no shirt on.
The underwear Olympics. I don't know if you saw Bruce Arians' quote yesterday, but he had an awesome quote just saying, this is where a lot of people get the wrong image or projection on a player and end up getting fired. And I think he's right, because you come here and you see these guys run around and do all this stuff, but they're not playing football. And then all of a sudden you see projections change and guy goes from being number five to number one. And next thing you know, what they actually did on film, which is what they're asked to do, is thrown out the window. And that's how you get bad projections. Just ask the Raiders with Darius Harrod Bay.
Mm. Oh, by the way, the list is long, and unfortunately for everybody has that guy. I mean, it happened to the Titans many years ago in the second round. They took a running back named Chris Henry out of Arizona, and, they fell in love with him. This is what happens where you get this is kind of like speed dating, right? You don't want to fall in love with speed dating, somebody you met in speed dating, and that's what happens at the Combine, and they fell in love with him and his workout warrior. He looked the part, and unfortunately he didn't play the part, and that's happened to basically every team in the league. So what has stood out to you, TD, up there so far?
Well, I think from a Titans perspective, what has stood out to me is just the extensive work that Tony Dews and Keith Carter have been doing, you know, as far as meeting with a lot of these running backs and meeting with offensive linemen. That has stood out. Being able to talk to these guys, I love talking to them and just asking them about their story and what it is that they love about football and getting them to talk about their abilities. One thing that is really standing out is just this is a group of tackles that are really good as far as like being able to switch from left to right. It's something that they're very comfortable in doing. There are multiple guys, and obviously with this whole Conklin situation, that's something that will come into play. And, you know, I got to mention Jordan Love, and got to talk to him a little bit about how he's going through some adversity. You know, a lot of people don't know, but his father had committed suicide. And this is something that happened, you know, early in his college career, like in that transition from high school to college. And we just talked about the adversity and just making it so that no moment on the football field is ever too big for him, because nothing in life could compare to that, you know. So it was cool being able to talk to him, and just in addition to the football side of it, talk to him as a person. And, you know, obviously, you know, Jordan Love is a guy that I'm fond of. I really like his game, and I would love to see how he's going to fare in the NFL.
That's an awful story. I hate to hear that. One thing, since you've been here, Teron, and you've been with us now for a lot on this show, you've been a regular, and we appreciate that. You've gotten to know us, and you know kind of the dynamic of the show. And what I think makes the show cool is we're three different people. We each have our own skill set and a different thing we bring to the table. Now, with that being said, you kind of know the way I'm wired. And yesterday when I saw the quotes from John Robinson on Derrick Henry and the quote on Ryan Tannehill, I immediately, you know, went to, I tend to read the room, read body language, you know, look at mannerisms and try to sift through things and see, is this telling us something? Derrick Henry, it was like, yeah, we're going to work through this one. Oh, yeah, we're going to do everything we can to keep him around. Yeah, what about Ryan Tannehill? Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, he's under contract for the next few weeks. He did a great job for us. And when I see that, I'm just, of course, just looking at quotes. You're there. You can actually see the body language. I'm just looking at words. That looks like a general manager that is much more emphatic about one position or one player than the other. Am I reading the room wrong?
No, I don't think you're reading the room wrong, but it's one of those things where you look at your situation, right? That room that you're in right now. You obviously love Chase, but you've been with Willie for much more time, so you're naturally going to speak a little more glowing. It'll be more emotion when you're talking about Willie than when you're talking about Chase. You know what I mean? So just the same.
It's a good one. Breaking down with TD. Same. This is good.
Hey, listen, man, you know, I do the doctor side of things. But no.
I feel I should be stretched out on a couch right now.
Just the same, obviously, Robinson, he has a history more extensive with Derrick Henry. And it's just going to be different talking about him as opposed to talking about Tannehill. And I think one of the things that Robinson mentioned that was really good was just Henry's influence within the community also. You know, so he's done a lot of things. So it's just I wouldn't read too much into it. I really feel because one of the things I asked Mike Vrabel at we had a side presser, and I asked Mike Vrabel about the importance of continuity on offense from a chemistry perspective. And that's something that he definitely felt was important. But they don't want to do anything to make it like, okay, we have to have Tannehill. You know, so I think that's something that, you know, they're keeping in mind when they say, you know, we appreciate the continuity, we appreciate the chemistry. When they say that, I think that just they understand that the best move is to bring Tannehill back. I feel like that's what they really are thinking.
Fair points. You're right. They are much more invested into Derrick Henry. He is their body of work. Ryan Tannehill was a nice trade, but he was brought in. So that's really good. And he's been here obviously much less time.
Is it fair to ask the question of they didn't think this was going to go the way that it did? That they just traded for him, brought him in as an insurance policy to be the backup, and nobody really within that organization predicted that he was going to have the run that he did. And now they don't know what to do necessarily. Plus, they also see Brady being available.
I think there's something that could be said to that. But I had a guy for talking with TD this week. We have Brandon Howard on, who covered the Dolphins for 2 years, 3 years actually, for Sports Talk Florida. And he's very familiar with Ryan Tannehill. And one of the things that he talked about was just the way Adam Gase kind of laid the foundation for how to maximize Tannehill's production. And it's really exactly what the Titans have done. Lean on the running game. You don't ask him to do too much, whereas he's not passing the ball 35 to 40 times a game, but you want him to be able to hit a couple shots and be able to do that, you know, when called upon. And it's tough if you're handing the ball off and then to turn around and all of a sudden be asked to throw the ball and do it effectively. It's tough to be able to do that, but that's something that they found that they could do. So long story short, it's almost like they're duplicating, to an extent, the formula that was set up for Ryan Tannehill in Miami. But the thing is, you have a much better group of guys. You know, you got Derrick Henry, right? You got A.J. Brown. You got Jonathan Smith. There's a better supporting cast than there was in Miami.
I thought Mike Vrabel had the line of the day to describe his relationship with Tom Brady, and he said, undefeated.
Undefeated, yeah.
That was definitely a great line. How did you find him to be? Because it's been pretty interesting. We were talking about this on the show this week, Teron. I don't know if you're aware, but Mike Vrabel was in the house at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, yeah, taking in the game. Yeah. By the way, it was a who's who of NFL coaches, Rob and Rex Ryan and Jeff Fisher and Mike Vrabel. And we've even had word that we were told that Bill Belichick was in town and across the street having dinner on Saturday night. I don't know if that's true or not. We haven't 100% confirmed that, but we were told that by several people. And Mike Vrabel also spoke to the Predators last week. Like John Hines had him come in and speak with the team before, you know, he did all this, obviously, before heading to the combine. You've been around, you're around him all the time. Now that year two's in the books and he's going into another offseason, have you seen his growth chart from where he started at the beginning to where it is today? How different does that growth chart look?
Yeah, it's just he's gotten more and more comfortable with us. I think with himself, within the role that he has. That's really the main thing I've seen. You know, he's cracking more jokes. You see just more. Like, you could tell that there are actual relationships, with some of us. You know what I mean? And I think that's something that's really cool. You know, when he's able to joke with us, like, you know, joke with me about the clothes I wear, or joke with some of the other guys about different things. I think that's something that's just a result of just being more comfortable, right? And it's actually, you know, it goes beyond just, hey, coach, what did you see here? And he just answers. You know, he will, like, make humor out of it. And it's a better situation for us as far as dealing with him. And I think vice versa, because we know each other better. We know what presses buttons and how to go about getting answers. And he's doing a good job of just becoming more informative also, right? Because when he first got here, injuries and those type of things, it was like pulling a toenail off, you know, to get it. Like, you couldn't do it. But now he's really opening up to that.
Do you can you hold through the break and let Willie and Chase hit you with some questions?
Yeah, sure. I could do that. Right. Definitely, we should probably talk a little bit about some offensive line prospects.
Okay, let's do that on the other side with Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for the Titans at ESPN, ESPN.com, talking with TD, his podcast, and also TD and Chase spend a lot of Friday nights talking some football with you.
Do we do?
From 6 to 8 o'clock. More with Teron on the other side, Darren Donick and Chase.
/11:17 is the time here on Darren Donick and Chase. 102.5 The Game. It is a hard knock life at times. Not every day on the show, but we have our days, right? Teron Davenport is living the life. He is up at the combine. So, Teron, you teased it going into the break. Offensive line. The Titans certainly can use some depth there. So, what about the prospects? How does it look this year?
I think it looks really good. And I tell you what, at pick 29, there are definitely multiple guys that are in play. And I think when you look at Josh Jones from Houston, I talked to him a little bit. And if you go back and watch his film, you talk about being a bully on the field. Man, listen, he puts hands on some of these guys, and it's just it's not right. He's fortunate that he's doing it on the field and not in the street, because he'd be in trouble. You know, and that's something that really started to show this past year. So I asked him what it was, you know, that made him be a more violent player, and he just said that he realized that was something that he had to showcase, and that's what he did, you know. And he met with the Titans, you know, informal. He has a formal setup as well, so he's a guy that definitely, like I said, will be in play. He did really well at right tackle down at the Senior Bowl. He's played left and right, so the experience is there. So that's someone. And then I'm going to put another guy in the mix at number 29. And it's really unfortunate that this guy was hurt last year. And that's Lucas Niang from TCU. He was hurt last year, and that kind of prevented him from, you know, putting better film out there than what he has. And I think he's a guy that if you go back and you look at his 18 film when he was healthy, he dominated. And he's someone that could play both sides. He's done it before. The Titans have also talked to him. And these two guys that I'm mentioning, they're in addition to being, like, you know, bigger guys. Like, you know, Jones is 6'6". I think he's like 3'10", 3'15". But he moves really well. So both of these guys are really physically set up to be someone that could come in that zone scheme and understand blocking spots as opposed to a player. And that takes movement. It takes athleticism, and they could both do that. Another guy a little bit later, and it's funny because this dude he's a monster, right? Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia. Now, everybody mentions Andrew Thomas. He's on the flip side of that, and he's about 6'7", 340, somewhere in that range. But even though he's that big, he is very athletic. He's more of a developmental guy, right? So if you look at him, he's someone, you know, third, fourth round that could come in and play right tackle for you. He's already playing that position too. So that would be a good look for the Titans. And I really thought Conklin was someone that they had to bring back, but I think he might be getting priced out of their range as far as to be able to build in other areas. So they're going to need to bring in a younger guy in the draft. And You know, they need somebody that's going to be plug and play. And I think Josh Jones and Lucas Niang, these are two guys. But if they do end up having to go a little bit later, Dennis Kelly, if Conklin leaves, Dennis Kelly and his agent, you know, they need to rub their hands together and just know that they're going to have the Titans kind of in a tough spot, because they need to have someone like Kelly that could play just in case they don't get that guy that they need that's plug and play in the draft. So that's my perspective on some of those. There's plenty of guys. Austin Jackson from USC, he's another one that the Titans have spoke to. Awesome story with him. You know, he put things aside during his last year. Before his last year, he donated bone marrow to his sister. And it took him a bit to come back from that. But what does that show you? Character, right? And
yeah,
he's someone that, you know, he could play both sides. So the one thing, like I said earlier in a previous segment that stood out, is there are tackles that could play left or right. I think that's something that's definitely you want to look at. And just to give you another guy just kind of under the radar, John Runyon. Yeah, I know that name is familiar. His son. He's a guy.
I can't believe he has a son that's ready for the NFL. I feel old.
Yeah. And I tell you, it looks just like him. He's not as much of a tackle. He's more of a guy to play inside at guard, but he could play both. Teams have talked to him about playing both. But he said that Taylor Lewan is one of the guys he's always looked up to, you know. So a nice little tie-in there. So, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of offensive linemen that I think could come in and help that team. But it's just a matter of at what level and how quickly. And well, I think that's – you got to get quickly because of Conklin.
Well, let me sift through what you're saying here, Teron, because you're listing a lot of prospects there. And I hadn't really thought of it in this context. But we know that the dollars are going to be stretched somewhere along the line here with all these guys that we're talking about almost daily on the show with the quarterback situation. Henry, Conklin, Logan Ryan, all of these things. It sounds to me like there is an option. As much as you'd like to have Jack Conklin, that you feel like they could make the bold move of letting Conklin walk and being able to draft a guy in the first round that they could plug right into the starting spot. That would mean you would have Nate Davis in his second year, who took a while, but he stuck, and then a rookie next to him for this coming year?
Yeah, I mean, it can mean that, but here's the thing. That's why if you're going to go that route, you pretty much – so if you let Conklin go, right, you sign Kelly, but you're pretty much telling the rest of the league, hey, you know what, at 29, you're taking a right tackle, right? It just is pretty much written, because what are you going to do? Are you going to go out there with Dennis Kelly as your starting right tackle on day one, or are you going to get a guy that, you know, you have Dennis Kelly, but he could push Dennis Kelly – and maybe take on that right tackle role and push Dennis Kelly back into that swing role. So, it's something that can conceivably happen, but you're really just you're putting up that single, that signal, right, that you're taking a tackle.
Talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN, Titans NFL Nation reporter, also talking with TD, the podcast. You can check that out. TheGameNashville.com. All right, getting into some skill positions. I know you're really excited about the wideouts and seeing them in action. You saw some at the Senior Bowl when you were down there. Have there been any other wide receiver prospects that have caught your eye since you've been in Indy the last couple of days?
Yeah, for sure. Let me start with this. KJ Hamler is not running. He told me he pulled his hamstring. Not pulled it, but he tweaked it. So he's not going to run. So that's something that'll definitely be, unfortunate. As far as guys out here let me say this. Jalen Reagor out of TCU, hey, man, he stepped up to that podium, and you talk about a guy being jacked. You could tell that he spent a lot of time in the weight room, you know. So he's the guy, and he says he's going to run fast. He has that Tyreek Hill built, you know, and talking to him, the thing I really liked was his confidence. He had a very high level of confidence and just an edge, right? And some guys, they have that it where they're up, like they're pissed off, you know, and they play that way. And that's what comes with him. He's someone, you know, think Percy Harvin, that type of guy that you could just use in all different type of aspects. So he definitely was impressive. He's going to run fast tomorrow too. Obviously, Devin Duvernay, I've talked about him. extensively, and he's someone else that, you know, you're talking about a 6A state champ, high school in Texas, 10-2-7, so the speed is there. He's going to impress at over 200 pounds. He'll probably run in the 4-3 range.
What about tight ends? I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Bryson Hopkins at all. I saw he spoke, I believe it was yesterday, but what about some tight ends? Because I think that could be a position that the Titans possibly look at.
Yeah, for sure. I talked to Bryson Hopkins. He'll be on the show at some point. We talked about just getting those concentration drops to be minimized, you know, and that's something that he's working on. I think he'll run well, too. Very athletic. Obviously, he has it in his genes, you know, his father. Another guy, tight end-wise, I don't know that he's going to run that well, but if you flip on the tape and you watch him, he's a guy that could play in line also, which is, I think, is something they're going to need. But you could flex him as well, and that's Devin Asiasi, another guy. Actually, we're going to have him on the next week's show talking with TD. And he's someone that, you know, takes blocking personally. He's someone that could run that seam route, run that bang eight, which is that, you know, that skinny post. So those are a couple guys that I think will be right in their range that could come in and be a compliment to Jonnu and Anthony Firkser.
Teron, we're in that stage now where we're seeing some teams clear cap space, and we've had this conversation about there are probably two or three guys on the Titans roster that could be candidates for being cap casualties and clearing up some cap space. When do you think we could see that happen? When could John Robinson make those moves?
Yeah, I think within the next week or so. I think it is being because J-Rob, he's a very stand-up guy, right? And I don't take him as someone that would want to put somebody in a bad predicament, right? In this business, you understand that. So if it's someone, whether it's, you know, Deion Lewis, Delaney, whoever, if it's someone that they have to release, I would think that if he does that, he's going to do that early in the process to give them a chance to go someplace else. That's just how I feel. So I would say within the next week or two, you know, as you get ready for a free agency period to start, I can see it happening there.
Well, are any of those guys due a roster bonus?
You know what? I haven't done that math. I don't know. I'll have to take a dive into their contract, so I'm not absolutely positive.
Teron, really appreciate the visit. Enjoy your time in Indy, and we will certainly talk to you when you get back. Thanks for doing this.
All right, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys.
All right, that is Teron Davenport. Does a tremendous job of covering the Titans, and check out his podcast, Talking with TD. And, of course, he is on this show all the time, and so we appreciate his time up at the Combine. We will come back more of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. But first, Willie, you've got a word about Lee Company.
All right, Lee Company, 615-567-1000. The home maintenance plan, I tell you about it every week, and I will say it again. With the weather about to turn warmer consistently, have you had your air conditioning unit checked? It's a great way. If the answer is no, this is the time. It's the cue for you to call 615-567-1000 to get it checked and then ask Lee Company about their home maintenance plan. You pay $10 or so a month, and in exchange for that, you get the 4 annual checkups: air conditioning unit, heating unit, plumbing unit, electrical services. And in exchange for that, if there are repairs that need to be made, you get discounts on those repairs. It's a great way to stay ahead of things, and you'll find the small problems before they become major crisis kind of problems. That's a good feeling to know you've got Lee Company on your side. 615-567-1000. Or go online and make an appointment at LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.
Don't forget the inaugural MLS season. Nashville SC kicking off Saturday at Nissan Stadium, and we're going to be doing a live broadcast, our show and the afternoon show, at Tin Roof on Demumrian. Kind of in lieu of MLS getting going in our city. So 10 to 2, we'll be there. And 2 to 6, you'll have Jared and the GM. So 8 hours of live programming at Tin Roof on Demumrian. This is the catch on why you should come by and say hello. Every hour will be giving away a pair of lower bowl tickets to Saturday's match. Happy Hour starts at 2 with great food and drink specials. It's Nashville SC's inaugural MLS season kickoff party. Once again, at Tin Roof on Demumrian, live shows there, and we're getting you ready for Saturday over at Nissan Stadium. We are in BN with us. So how is that going to work? Do you know the details of us giving away tickets? Is this like what we did yesterday? You have to come in, registration box? How's that going to work?
I don't have the details on that right in front of
Give
me.
Give us some deets.
But I will. But, yeah, I mean, it's an every hour thing. And I believe it's the same way, but look, those have not been given to me yet.
Well, you're in charge right now, Chase.
That's what they tell me.
Wow, that was a very soft landing to that.
Yeah, I'll get those details for
okay.
you.
Okay. You work on that.
I thought I had till Friday to figure that out. I got enough going
on.
Well,
I hope that you figure it out before Friday.
I'll figure it out before the end of the hour. How about that?
Oh, okay. Really? Is that mm-hmm. what you know?
Yeah, that's what I know.
What do we think the crowd is going to be?
I think it'll be very good.
What's very good?
Because
we've seen
over 40.
We've seen two soccer matches. What, one push 50, the other in the 50s? Is that right? Or they've all just been in the mid and high 40s?
Have they had 50,000 for a soccer game here? I don't remember.
I'm
that
not
they
sure.
Have. I want
to the CONCACAF.
What
the
is
Gold Cup was?
What's
probably
popping in my head is the 46, 48. Kind of
yeah,
range.
Okay. All right. So maybe they haven't hit 50?
I don't know. I'm not certain.
I don't have those numbers in front of me. I mean, I know that from ticket sales, I think they were at 40,000 last time I heard, and that was a while ago. So, I mean, they had opened, like the lower bowl was done. They were opening up more. So
could it hit 50? If the weather is
right, the weather is right. Well, I'll tell you what, the big part of it is going to be how much does Atlanta bring, and I have a feeling they're going to bring a ton.
I would think.
Is it opening day for them? I'm assuming this is.
I think it's opening day for MLS. I mean, it's a nationally televised game too.
So that Atlanta fan base, I would think there's a lot. They'd be like, hey, go to Nashville for opening day.
They get what, 55 a game?
They're getting huge crowds.
55, 60 a game.
Yeah. And, look,
and I think that might be the most important question for Nashville SC as they evaluate what goes on. I think they're going to have a really good crowd for this first game, but what percentage is their fans that are going right. to be there every night, and you know how will the crowds grow as the weather gets warmer? Because it's I mean, you got to be all in from the start on a soccer season that goes from February until what, early December?
So I think
mid-November?
November. It's long.
It's a long season.
It's long.
I told
like
you.
Like, I know, like just for my personal habits, right, the schedule with the hockey, right, I'll be honing in a lot more on this team once the Predator season is over, whenever that is. Hopefully it's not for a long time. But the summer months, those are going to be great events, I would think, because they have the spotlight.
I'm looking forward to going to it.
They have the full spotlight. Then when the fall hits again, then they're going to have to be finding their place amongst all of the other football teams that start up, etc.
I told you that I would know before the end of the hour. Well, I know before the end of the segment.
Wow,
Nice. You must come in and see us.
Must.
It is on site. It is not on the air. You must come in and register to win. We will do that every hour.
I mean, you don't have to put eyes on us. You don't have to. But you do have to be in.
You can shade your eyes. You can, shield.
We can just look straight at the table and the registration box and just go straight to it.
If you do
like
look
blinders.
At us, if you do look at us, what will happen? Is it like it's not like Medusa?
I think it ups.
If you look at Medusa, you turn to stone.
No, I think it really helps you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But see, I'm saying you don't have to do that. You can come in with your head down. You don't have to have it on a swivel.
Looking for quarters?
But see, the lovely and talented Gina from Promotions will be there all day for you to register to win. So you don't want to come in with your head down. You got it because she's going to demand that you give her the proper attention to register to win and try and get these tickets every hour.
She's very shy, so
very.
Good luck trying to talk to her. She's
very,
very, very shy.
Very.
In fact, I don't even think I've heard her talk.
No.
Have you? Neither.
No, never.
It's a joke. You'll meet her on Friday if you show up. She's got a bubbly personality. So that'll be fun. That'll be a fun day. And, man, there'll be a lot going on. A Predators home game against Colorado and an MLS game at Nissan Stadium. So downtown, pack your patience when you come downtown on Saturday.
Pack your patience.
Just put that in the car with you.
Yeah.
Whatever you're bringing downtown, also throw in your patience.
Yeah.
Pack that and put it in the car.
Pack
put
it
in the trunk, wherever.
Well, look, all seriousness, even with a little more traffic, Saturday's a cool day for this city. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're excited that it's happening. So
you only have one first.
It's true. You know what's funny? My mom was at the first Predators game.
It'll be a trivia question one day.
Yeah.
Who's kidding who?
Yeah,
Saturday will be a trivia question.
My mom was at the first Predators game and has the puck. They handed out pucks for the first game. I forgot why I didn't get to go. But she went. You know, that's one thing she talks about even now doing what I do. Like, you know, I was at the first game. I get to go to the first game. I was at the very first one. So a lot of people can say that about Nashville SC.
First and last. I mean, it only happens one time, and I was at the last game of Greer.
So was I.
That was a fun night. It was weird.
Yeah.
Knowing that, you know, when you walk out of there. But I think it was the weirdest part was just when you walked out, like you knew that was it. Never going back into that place.
I grew up there. I mean, that was because, you know, as I've said on the show before, you know, for me, the first 10, 11 years of my life, it was Vanderbilt or it was the Sounds. There were no Predators, no Titans. So none of that was here. So I grew up in Greer Stadium. So, yeah, it was definitely weird walking out of there. I saw my first baseball game there. First sporting event was there. So take it in, man. It'll be good.
I was not at the first game at First Tennessee Park. Now
I was there.
First Horizon. I don't think so. No, I would have remembered it.
I'll tell you why you weren't, because the Predators played the Blackhawks.
They did. They played the
night.
Same night.
It was a playoff game, but it was an 8:30 start. So I did both. I went in for first pitch wearing my suit that I was wearing to the playoff game. So I'm standing there sweating in a suit for first pitch, saw like the first three innings and then went
in
over.
In April? You were sweating?
Yeah, it was hot.
Really?
Yeah. It was hot?
It was hot.
In April?
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was.
I don't remember
it
that
It was mild
at all.
For April.
Okay.
Mild or hot?
I mean, it was pretty.
You said you were sweating.
It's pretty warm.
We got to be ready to go in the rink where you want to have the layers on.
Right. So, but I saw the first three innings of the first game at then First Tennessee, now First Horizon.
Was that game three?
Probably.
Or was that the game to finish them off? Which one was that?
That would have been game three.
Yeah, but that wasn't that series. This wasn't the cup year. This was Peter Laviolette's first year, I believe.
2015 was the first year at First Tennessee Park?
First Tennessee Park?
No.
No way.
I think it was 17. I think it was 17, right? There's been three seasons at First Tennessee, right? This is the fourth season coming up. Right?
April 17th, 2015.
2015?
It's been around.
What? Yes.
This is year six?
Yes.
Wow, man, time is flown.
I am in a time warp. My goodness.
So that was the Shea Weber dislocated kneecap series?
Yeah. Well, that happened in game one.
Right? That was game one, but that was.
So wait, was that Lavi's first year or second
year? Yeah, that was his first
year.
14-15, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first
year. And the Blackhawks went on to win it.
Yeah, they did.
The whole thing.
They won the whole.
You know what? I should know that because we had a gathering. We went to the game at Greer Stadium, we went out to that right field area, and they had the Stanley Cup final on, the Blackhawks against the Lightning. I cannot believe that.
Yep. 2015.
Man. Year
this
six?
Is the sixth year.
We would have lost on trivia.
We would have lost.
By the way, we're going to do trivia this summer. Lost. We're looking forward to that.
We're about to hit, in August, it'll be the ninth anniversary of this radio station.
I know. That is very true.
Now, that I would have known. I would have got that trivia question.
Yeah, but I did not realize this was already year six. Impressive. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Hasselbeck coming up at high noon. Something when we talked to Teron Davenport in Indianapolis at the Combine. Did you guys catch his comments about Jack Conklin?
Yeah.
I did.
I thought that was interesting.
That caught my attention.
Basically, he's outpriced himself, so you let him go, and then you draft his replacement because of all the prospects that he was talking about, that there are guys that could play left or right tackle.
Right, but the reason I bring that out and the reason it stood out to me is because how adamant our conversations when talking with him in studio with us of Jack Conklin must come back.
Yeah.
Right?
And look, I've changed my tune because for the longest time I was saying, well, you bring Logan Ryan back as the third. You don't worry about Jack Conklin. But now that I think you're seeing, and I've seen in more mock drafts with the Titans at 29 taking a tackle, that there are more prospects that are starting to rise up the draft boards that people like, including Teron, and so I think it's making everybody kind of change their tune of, okay, if he's going to be too expensive, then use that money somewhere else and draft his replacement. Now, I do agree with him on you bring Dennis Kelly back at that point because that's not going to cost you a lot. So you bring a veteran that knows the system and knows the team, you bring him back and then have a competition to see who's going to start.
Do you really address that position again in the first round?
I mean, you may not have a choice.
You got that for 4 years. Is that worth 4 years?
Well, you're picking at 29. So 29 is BAP, best available player. I mean, that's so.
But I think the point that Teron was making is this particular year, like it, every year is different with the talent pool, but this particular year there might be some good fits
mm-hmm.
at that position at 29. That's why you consider it. Whereas if there weren't any tackles, that might make you more inclined to say, well, we got to pay what we got to pay to keep Conklin. So at least maybe now you have a viable alternative if you can't come to terms with him. Maybe that's not the case at corner. I don't know. Like you have to decide, we can't keep everybody. What if we lose Ryan? Then what can we do in the draft to compensate or in free agency? What if we lose Conklin? What does the draft look like? It sounds like Teron is saying they have some options there.
Yeah.
They may need to draft. They need to draft some offensive linemen anyway, right? Yep. Even if they keep Conklin, right? Dennis Kelly's not getting any younger. He's a free agent. We don't even know if he's coming back. If they keep Conklin, does that mean they lose Kelly? You know, Ben Jones
is not getting any younger.
Yeah, you want to start grooming the guy that could come in and replace him. So,
yeah,
I think these are all things to think about.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and I could be wrong. You guys tell me if you agree with this. I feel like this is the year. We've talked about free agency and how this is a deep free agent class. There are going to be a lot of names available at multiple positions, not just quarterbacks. Everybody's focused on the quarterbacks, but I feel like there's a lot available there for teams. But this is a pretty versatile draft class too, and it's not just the first round. You're going to be able to find some talent, second, third, fourth, fifth, you know, rounds like that. So I feel like for a team like the Titans that – either have to bring back guys at certain positions or they're going to have holes at certain positions. This is the year to try and to fill all that, whether it's free agency or the draft or the combination of the two. I think, and I know it's like that for all 32 teams, but I feel like the Titans will be in a good position that if they can't bring some of their own guys back, they're going to be able to find pretty good replacements, whether it's the draft or free agency.
All right, so let me ask you this. If I told you that you would have Henry – Tannehill, let's just say it's Tannehill.
Okay.
Henry, Tannehill, and Ryan, but you lose Conklin and you draft a first rounder right tackle. You happy with that? You roll with that?
I'm fine with that. I think.
Or would you rather keep Conklin and lose Ryan?
Okay. You've asked the question two different ways. If you're asking, would you rather, I would rather, as much as I love Logan Ryan, keep Conklin and lose Ryan. That's what I'd rather do. But if it's the alternative and I keep Ryan but have to draft Conklin's replacement, I don't think that's the end of the world.
I just think it could go a lot of ways if you put a rookie, or, you know, you have the ultimate security blanket. If you lose Conklin, I would think part of that script has to be that you would have Dennis Kelly play, right?
Because they took so long to get chemistry on that line that if you have somebody like Dennis Kelly coming back that is familiar, maybe it doesn't take as long this time. But you're also only replacing one position. Last year you had Lawan out for the first four games, so you had to have Dennis Kelly at left tackle. You had Conklin coming back from injury.
It was a brand new Saffold.
You had a brand new Saffold.
You had a rookie that was way far away from starting.
You had a revolving door.
As long as Taylor Lewan has no new issues, you should have relative stability going in at four of the positions. Let's just say you went that route. So that's something that I hadn't thought of, honestly, until Teron was kind of tossing that out of the combination. If it meant that you could keep Ryan, maybe even have a little bit more dollars to work with, because it's going to be expensive to keep Jack Conklin one way or the other.
It's going to be expensive to keep Logan Ryan.
But maybe not quite as expensive, that position.
Yeah, but you're going to be paying two corners probably $12 or $13 million.
Well, but that's the other thing, the money game as well. Would you have to jettison Malcolm Butler if it meant that you kept Ryan?
I would think you would have to do,
I find it hard to believe they can bring
both.
Back Butler and Ryan.
I don't see that. Because Ryan's getting a bump.
But Dennis Kelly,
he's going to get more pay. He's going to get more money, and I don't know how you do both.
Dennis Kelly starting until the rookie is ready, and then you put Kelly back in his utility role.
Yeah.
I can see that as a plan that could work.
Yeah, I could too. And I think it's an interesting point on Malcolm Butler, because you paid him a lot of money, as typically happens with free agency. But again, you know, if you part ways with him or Logan Ryan, there are viable corners not only in the draft but free agency that you can find the replacement.
Does anybody's answer change if the quarterback is Tom Brady and not Ryan Tannehill?
Great question.
Hmm.
In other words, you got to make sure you protect
One's
Tom Brady.
Mobile,
the pass
one is
blocking
not.
And the pass blocking was the one weakness of the offensive line last year.
But Brady is the ultimate smart. You know, he's the smart quarterback. He's not mobile, but he knows when to get rid of the ball. But still, a little bit different approach. You've got a 43-year-old quarterback as opposed to Ryan Tannehill, 32. He'll be 32 going into the season.
I think you're more inclined to overpay a little bit for Conklin to bring him back if Brady is the guy.
So you would – then people have to go for sure, because if you're paying Henry and Brady
– it depends on what you're paying Brady.
And now Conklin.
Everybody wants to pencil him in for 30-something million. I mean, if he really wants to play for BFF and compete for another Super Bowl,
yeah,
I mean
– fair.
He might go – Mike, I mean, 20, 21, 22.
I don't see that.
23. What do you make this year, 23?
I would say you're going to have to be at least at 25.
Okay, fine, 25. You go, like, hey, I'll do it for 25. Let's call it a two-year deal, but we'll go year to year. We good.
But then that changes for you guys. You now go, we can't draft a rookie. You got to have the veteran guy.
Yeah, because I would rather march out the same offensive line this year that has now had a lot of time together. Yeah, did they give up a lot of sacks? Sure, but it wasn't all on them. You know, there were times where, whether it was Mariota or Tannehill holds onto the ball.
He does.
For a long time.
So I do think that is a factor.
That changes with Tom. Tom gets rid of the football.
He gets rid of it. He's going to be like Peyton. He's going to get rid of it quick.
And he knows how to, he knows how to manipulate the pocket. So there are different things he can do.
But you can't let him take a beating. You'd have to have the ability to keep him clean at 43.
Well, what's amazing is they've got the guy built in that he's been accustomed to all these years in Adam Humphries, right?
Yep.
I mean,
oh, Adam,
if you're talking about getting rid of the ball, I mean, Adam Humphries' stock goes way up.
He would do.
Especially in a PPR fantasy league.
He'd do a
Brady
flip.
As the quarterback? Hello.
Oh, yeah. But Brady would also have something that he hasn't really had in a long time. A workhorse running back.
Well, in a long time.
Ever?
Ever? I mean, who's the workhorse? Like Henry.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
Nobody like him.
Nobody like him. They've had
Corey Dillon early on.
I think LeGarrette Blount had 19 touchdowns one year.
But they've always had in that system, there's always been like three or four that do different things.
It's a stable of running backs, right? And they don't stay with them very – I mean, it's like 3-4 weeks and then another guy.
Okay, let me throw this question at you. If they get Brady, does that change your thinking on Deion Lewis because of how Deion Lewis was used?
No, he's gone.
No, he's gone.
He's done.
Gone.
Too expensive.
Gone. Too expensive.
All right, we'll come back, kick off the third hour with Tim Hasselbeck. We do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.